We interrupt this program to bring you a special news bulletin.
This is not a test. Every Tuesday, the Journey into Comics Network will bring you The Poor Rapport, your one-stop podcast shop for everything news and topics of personal interest. I am your host, Andrew Poor, and you can hear me every Tuesday.
The following is a Journey into Comics Network production. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Journey into Comics, the podcast about everything nerd, with your hosts, Nate Phillips and Brandon Stone.
We've come a long way from the Prime Minister's exploding cake. Or have we?
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Journey into Comics. I am one of your hosts, Brando. Join with me today. As always, this podcast network's podfather.
Oh, I don't know if I guess.
Well, I mean, you joked about the picture. And I'm like, is this guy proclaiming himself to be the podfather? In our group chat, you said you wanted to do a group picture for the network where you're sitting in a chair and I have my hand on your shoulder.
Yeah, like I'm an old man.
Well, like, but then you're the runner of the family. You're the godfather.
Oh, I guess I didn't really. That really wasn't where I was coming from with that. I just wanted to be dorky and think of like those terrible Sears portraits with the families, but just with our family. You know,
our friends over at the Mad Scientist Party Hour went to a Sears and did like a set of family portraits. Together and it looks absolutely hilarious.
It's gold. They're in their sweater vests and everything. It's perfect.
Exactly. But Nate, this is episode 159. We are trekking along. Before we know it, 200 is going to be here. We need to start planning that probably as soon as tomorrow.
I was thinking that myself, man. It's weird because we have a couple different things on the docket coming up that I don't know if we'll talk about them yet, but I'm really excited for like the next month.
Oh, absolutely, dude. October is what we've always kind of considered to be our busy month. We always try to at least get together at some point. Now, granted, we kind of did that. We've done that 3 months in a row now with July with 150 and the metal cast and all that kind of things. And then August, the launch of the network, and then we got together for that. We'd had a big, long day for that. That was absolutely that episode. It's awesome because it was like we have all this stuff to talk about. We have all this new things, and we were so tired from working on that hopefully it didn't come off as too much of a drag. And then we actually had a little mini podcast-a-thon in regards to September when myself and Dick kind of came up to hang out, and we did Voice of Survival 3, we did Journey to Comics, Attack of the Snores or Attack of the Yawns.
Yeah.
was that. And then the next day, of course, you guys did Podcastrophe, episode 4, I believe that was.
Yeah, that just came out on the network last week.
It did, and I just listened to it, or I don't know if I finished it, actually. I don't know if I did finish that. That is actually surprising because the episode was flowing. That's what happens sometimes when I listen to free flowing podcasts, if I could speak tonight, is that I don't know. It says I did, so I guess I must have, because sometimes it's hard for me to tell. I have so many podcasts that sometimes I move on to another one without realizing it. Most of the time, I know if I finish it.
Yeah,
but yeah, I can't remember if I finished that or not.
Easiest way to remember Podcastrophe is I just do the little Big Dick Day dance at the end, you know, where I'm just like jamming like Big Dick Day, you know, like fucking because Blaine's hilarious. I was going to tell you something. Oh, dude, I don't know how it's been with you. Today was, I haven't shared this with you yet. Today was like the weirdest, worst day of my life, but not the worst day of my life, if that makes sense. because it was all circumstantial. So over the past couple days, I've been fighting a little bit of like a stomach bug. I've not really felt super great, not really been able to eat a whole lot. So today, we get up and get packed up. We're going to head down to Lowell to hang out with Veronica. And we get to Lowell after a terrible traffic jam. Like, I was going on 8094 to get onto 65. And on 8094, traffic was stopped because of the exit for 65 into 8094, like, back. So, like, we kind of make this, like, fucking jaunt around, and everything's cool, and it's just like, what the fuck else is going to happen with this day? We're on this little sidetrack, and there's a fucking train across the tracks, and you know me and trains, Brando. I just don't have... I don't really have good luck with trains ever, it seems. They always block my path. So we finally get through that, and then we get back onto 65. GPS is like, you should go on 65 now, and there are, like, no cars. It's like, it was like a mile back, it's a parking lot, but right here, right now, there's no one. It's just, like, fucking, just, like, put it all together and just bring, like... Like, make some flow happen so you guys can all, like, work together and make traffic work better. So we finally get to V's, and the decision is like, hey, we're going to go and get some food, and then we're going to do some errand running and whatnot, and then we'll head back to the house. So we go to this place, El Salto, and next time you guys are up, we're going because it's cheaper than Taco Bell, and it's gourmet Mexican food, and they have a drive-thru. And they're open till 3 a.m. It's ridiculous. Like, it's restaurant quality fast food. It's stupid how good it is. We ate inside today. So it was great. I had the super nachos. It's essentially when you order the super nacho, you get to pick anything you want, and the toppings are unlimited. And then if you get guacamole or their queso dip, it's an extra dollar. So it's like $6. You get this fucking massive bowl of nachos. So eating the nachos, it's great. Hey, we're done here. We're going to go across the street to the Walmart. And I'm just like, today's a good day. I can't wait to podcast with my bud, Brando. We're going to hang out later over Skype and chat about some bullshit. And this day's good, and it's nice to be outside. And we get in the car, and we go over to fucking Walmart. And V's like, hey, everybody, lock your doors. I forgot to do that when we were in El Salto. So I said to myself, hey, lock the fucking door, okay? So I lock the door. V's out having a smoke. I go to step out of the car. I shut the door, and I can't move. My middle finger is trapped in the door. I've smashed my middle finger in between the door, and it's locked. So I can't just open the fucking door and get out. Oh, and Veronica doesn't have automatic like unlock on her keys. She has to use a key, so she has to go through the front of the car, unlock it, go around, open the fucking handle, and my finger is smashed, dude. It's bad, and it's pretty. I'm pretty sure I broke part of it at least. It was like bright purple, and it was like really thin because it got crushed. And it was one of those things, like, do you know when you, okay, example, do you know when you watched Game of Thrones season one, and they, spoiler alert, and they chop Ned Stark's head off, and you're sitting there like, what the fuck, is that really happening? Huh? And you, like, look away, and you hope when you look back, you're not gonna see the same thing, but when you look back, it's still the exact same, like, nothing has fucking changed. So the car's door, it smashes me, and I'm like, youch, that fucking kills. But I tried to pull away and I couldn't because it like caught my knuckle. So then I like looked away hoping that when I looked back magically, that wasn't going to have been what happened. And it was just going to be a terrible fucking dream. Well, that's not the case. That is not the case because, yeah, it sent me into like a micro shock because it was like, I don't typically get hurt at all. And the excitement of, holy shit, my finger might get lost because I smashed it in a car door, or I might have like severely injured it and I don't know what the result is immediately because it just fucking happened, sent me into like this panic. And I swear to God, dude, I'm sorry, this is funny to me now. Earlier, it was not fucking cool, but we're in Walmart and I felt like it was like Saving Private Ryan because I'm just like by the potato chips and stuff, and it's just like everything's moving in slow motion. And I'm like looking at my hand, and I'm just like, ah, this fucking kills. Maybe I should bend it. oh my God, that hurts 10 times worse. And I'm like, whoa. Finally, I like came out of being in the quote unquote shock of what happened when we were leaving Walmart. And I was like, holy shit, I like don't remember being in Walmart that much. Like I kind of do, but it was very just like, because it was all of a sudden the pain was hitting my finger. Like I was actually feeling it while we were in there. And it was just like, I couldn't yell and I couldn't scream and I couldn't freak out. So I'm just like, I'm not going to die. It's far from my heart. It's okay, but God damn it, this hurts. But it's fine
now.
I kind of foresee
you smashing your finger in the door and it being stuck and you stopping and you look at it and then you look back at the camera and then you look back at it. You look back at the camera and then you go, ah! It's got like Ernest P. Worrell stuff, dude, from like all those movies. Yeah. Yeah, that kind of thing. That dude, I love the Ernest movies. They're so stupid.
It is Halloween time, bro. It's October 1st, by the way, when this is releasing, right? Yeah, or no, October 2nd.
Second, yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
I'm off on a day. It's weird when you time travel, folks.
Tomorrow's Silent Rob's birthday.
Oh, shout out to Silent Rob. Happy birthday, SR.
Yeah, yeah. And their little one is coming along here soon in November. She'll be here before we know it, upsetting their lives upside down. I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but when you have a kid,
everything changes.
It does. You know, and honestly, I didn't really feel like it changed that much when Wyatt was really little. You know, I didn't really feel like it changed that much. He was just there, and then we kept him alive. And
yes.
And it wasn't, and I was still able to go do things like podcasting and all that kind of things. Now it has changed because you know what? I cannot watch what I want anymore.
Yeah, and also podcasting on the moon.
We will eventually podcast on the moon, and he will talk about that when he's on the show. but, dude, like, I don't get to play games like I used to. I don't get to watch what I want anymore. It's about more what he wants to watch, and I'm more so just in the room watching Moana for the 70,322nd time. 23rd tomorrow. Maybe. He's also into the Minions movie now. And he's also, I guess, a story for JIW. But I'll go ahead and tell it here. Why not? Maybe I'll share it over there as well if you guys don't listen to this show or that show. Or to both. You'll get the same story, kind of. He's into watching wrestling, and he asks for it now.
Isn't that an awesome feeling?
He says, wrestling, 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 Washo Man.
Yeah, Macho Man.
Washo Man.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Does he do it? Oh, yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. So I have been watching a bunch of Macho Man. We've been watching a lot of 92 era. Of course, we watched WrestleMania 8 with Macho Man and Ric Flair. Watched SummerSlam, Macho Man Warrior 2, and of course Hitman and Bulldog at Wembley. Then we went and watched Macho Man lose. I that's not on the network, by the way. I had to go look that up on YouTube, the episode of Primetime Wrestling where Ric Flair defeats Macho Man for the title. Then we went and watched Ric Flair lose the title to Bret Hart, which is available only, not on the network either, but only on a Coliseum home video. They didn't even put that on TV or on a pay-per-view. That's when Bret won it.
Damn.
And then we watched Survivor Series where the Macho Man was supposed to team up with the Ultimate Warrior, but he really got fired for testing positive for steroids. That or something or another. I don't remember what that was. Maybe it was some other drugs. But they ended up replacing him with Mr. Perfect by turning him babyface to go up against the Nature Boy Ric Flair and the bad guy Razor Ramon. We have been watching a lot of Macho Man. And of course, I also introduced him to one of the greatest wrestling matches of all time.
Oh, yes.
The Macho Man versus Ricky the Dragon Steamboat.
WrestleMania 3. Hell yeah. Most near falls in a match, I think, ever, right?
If not, it's up there.
Hell yeah.
That match is amazing. But it's been a lot of fun. I've actually been playing a little bit of FF9. He asked to watch something else, and I know Daddy's playing games. And then he goes, games. Daddy, games. Yeah. And I'm like, yes, that's exactly right, sir. But that's it. You know, it's really unfortunate because with that being said, like, we don't get to watch a whole lot of anything. Hulu now has TGIF.
Yeah, I saw that.
Family Matters,
Home
Full
Improvement.
House, Hanging with Mr. Coof. I don't know if Home Improvement was on there.
I think so. I think that was on the list.
I thought Home Improvement was on NBC. TGIF.
Oh, I get what you're saying. But I think that was added, like, maybe I misread the article. My fault.
But Hang with Mr. Cooper, Perfect Strangers. And we actually just turned on Family Matters for him to watch to see if he would be interested in it at all. And he really wasn't interested yet. It's early episodes here. We're talking about even before Urkel comes on the damn show.
Nice.
And then Wyatt doesn't know what he's watching, so he just says, a TV show.
A TV show.
TV show. Yeah. A TV show. And then he asks to watch Elmo and Abby, and then we're going, no, we're watching this. We're watching Family Matters. A TV show. I mean, we're watching a TV show. He also goes through this phase where he just, he'll say what he wants. And so I'll turn on wrestling, and we'll be watching wrestling. And then he'll look and go, a Minions? You don't want to watch wrestling? Night wrestling.
Putting wrestling to bed, huh?
He's putting wrestling to bed. And then we start watching Minions. And then I start zoning out because I don't give a crap about that movie. And they don't speak English in that movie.
No.
And this is a serious question, okay? This is both funny and, for me, quite serious. If you're someone who is deaf and you're going to watch the Minions movie with subtitles, do you know what the fuck is going on in that movie?
I mean, I think if someone explained it to me, like, even with my partial deafness, the Minions are gibberish, though. And if you're not aware that that's their lone language's jibber-jabber, then yes, it can be very bizarre, I would assume. Like, what the fuck am I watching? What are they saying? That's like, okay,
well, because
did you hear about that, by the way? That there was some emergency when Hurricane Irma was happening in Florida, there was some county or whatever, and they were holding a press conference to tell their people, you got to fucking go. It's time to get the fuck out. And they had this guy who was doing the signs. He was doing the sign language, except for he was a complete fake and only like knew like 8% of what he was saying. So it was like, little cats, evaluation, evacuation. Like, it's really fucking weird.
Like the couple people in the crowd are like,
that's like the Jeff Dunham thing where he says at some point in my show, I just take Peanut and just do this.
Yeah.
And then the deaf people are like, where's the translation, you know?
I remember old Larry the Cable Guy said that, like, if deaf people have Tourette's, does that show up in their sign language? Like, they just randomly start flipping people off. Oh, man. Old man, comedians I haven't heard from in 10 years for 1,000, Alex.
Super weird, by the way. I watched an interview with him where he didn't have the, because Larry the Cable
voice.
Guy is a character, you know? Some people didn't know that. And it was just, like, really disturbing. Same with Gilbert Gottfried. Like, if he's not doing his high, I can't do his voice. You can do it, but
if he isn't yelling at the top of his voice.
Yeah, exactly. That was great.
I mean, because that's his gimmick. I mean, and it's just, you know, I've been doing voices at work here lately.
Yeah.
Just to make this one guy laugh, because he'll start asking me about stuff, what's going on. And so I'll start doing Donald Trump's voice, but then he'll start asking what other characters feel about it.
like
the whole kneeling and football thing, you know?
Oh, yeah, so that's a hot topic.
They all need to be fired, completely fired, okay? Nobody knows anything more about kneeling than me. I've taken a lot of kneels, Okay.
Taking a lot of kneels. That's great.
I know a lot of kneels, but you shouldn't kneel during the national anthem. It's like,
unless your name is Neil Young.
Neil Young is not very young at all anymore. It's a complete lie. Fake news. So then he's like, so what does Sling Blade have to say about that? Well, you see there, I reckon that kneeling thing ain't doing too good right there. Shouldn't be kneeling. I stand up all the time during my favorite song. It's called a Hokey Pokey. I just start making stuff up. And then he's like, what about the wall, man? So this guy's Mexican. His name is German. Shout out, German, if you ever hear this. He's listened to our show before.
Oh, sweet. What up?
He asked about the wall, you know. He's like, what's going on the wall? I was like, the wall will be built. We're going to put holes in the wall. But like, they're going to be like inlets in the wall where they could put taco stands. So they can sell their tacos and their empanadas and their gorditas. And I'm not just reading the Taco Bell menu. They're going to have Cine Twists and Baja Blast.
Mexican pizza.
For every third dollar it's going to go for the wall be paid for in 40 years. Completely. And then he's like, you know, what does Arnie feel about it? The wall will come down, okay? We all bring down everything, the walls. Just break down the walls of Jericho. and then I'm like,
you don't see, Mr. Donald. We live to break down the walls of society.
And I just do so many voices to crack this guy up. And I would just start riffing about different political crap and just what different characters. And then it's gotten to the point that I think that doing an impersonation of Donald Trump saying something sane and rational would be comedic.
Yeah.
It's like, today on Sane Donald Trump, his views on North Korea. We need to approach this peacefully and diplomatically. Blowing people up doesn't do anybody any good. It doesn't. This is a hard topic, and we're going to sit down and talk this out. And to me, that is more funny than like the radicalness about some of the stuff that's been said. And I feel like that is a target that people are missing out on.
So are you telling me there's a Journey into Comics segment we're going to do in the future called Completely Rational Trump?
Go for it, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
we're not going to spring that on you today, but we'll plan it out a little bit better.
Go for it. Give me something.
Okay. So, Trump, I'm just curious here. Which Arkham game, if you were playing Arkham, which would be your favorite Arkham game? Like, and do you play video games, Trump? I guess I don't know that about you. Completely rational, Trump.
I'm a very busy guy. I'm very busy doing my presidential things. I never watch TV. I never do that. They don't get any ratings from me. That's why the ratings are so low. I'm just saying. My favorite Arkham game is Arkham City because it's the best one. It's the highest rated. And this is completely rational thought. The DLC was really good. Origins was just rehashed. By the way, I think we should legalize hash. I mean, why? The war on drugs just we're wasting money at this point. Bad drugs are bad. But, I mean, we got some bad drugs that aren't as bad drugs. But Arkham City would be my answer.
Damn, that was a great answer, completely rational Trump. Holy shit, you had to throw that one together. That was really kudos, Brando.
I had no idea where I was going with that.
You did a great job because you very much like Trump took some thought that was the question, completely avoided the question, answered something totally different, and then went back to the original question.
Well, I was trying to think of the actual answer. Like, I didn't know the answer. So I had to come up with something else to talk about until I could think of my answer.
That was good.
In real life, I would have to say, honestly, I enjoy all of them. I think City might be my favorite, but I actually, I'm in the minority, and I like Origins a lot.
Dude, I think Origins was a great story. There's nothing wrong with that game, in my opinion, other than that it wasn't made by Rocksteady, but that's not really...
You know what? Yeah.
With what they were working with and what they did,
that has awesome. My favorite boss fight in the entire series.
Which boss fight? The Deathstroke fight?
Deathstroke, yes.
Awesome.
But it also had some really other good boss fights in it as well, and it told a really good story. And honestly,
great twist.
Yes, a absolutely fantastic twist. I love the usage of Bane.
Yes.
In that story, I like the Joker story as well. The Enigma stuff was actually rehashed, but done differently enough in some aspects that were good. There's things I don't like about it. I love the fact that you actually go in the damn Batcave and talk to Alfred. Hey, yep. What's up, Alfred? How you doing? I like that part. Arkham Knight, in some ways, has it beat, but in other ways, not at all. I was very disappointed in a lot of aspects with Arkham Knight. Some of the story in Arkham Knight is the best that they've ever done. That cool inside the head stuff with Joker, him popping up and him just popping all around, them using that for storytelling was just really, really good.
Clever.
Yes.
But
it was the Batmobile segments that really hurt that game.
I agree. They overused it.
They overused it, but they also there was a real lack of originality with the boss fights in there, because there weren't really any boss fights. There were only a couple. The Riddler fight was really only traditional boss fight. And then when you use the Batmobile to fight the Arkham Knight in the tank, and then you just, when it came for time for Deathstroke to come in, that was that exact same fight again.
Yep.
And that, I hated that. I feel like it was a complete waste of Deathstroke.
Especially with how good he was in Origins.
Exactly my point.
Brando, last night I was up. I've had a lot of things on my mind. Unable to sleep. There were helicopters flying over our area, which was really weird, all night for 3.5 hours, just circling. They were probably looking for somebody. But, dude, I was like, man, what the fuck? I gotta zone out and play something. I played a little bit of Breath of the Wild, but not really your kind.
Sorry.
It's okay. It just
I was wondering if I was going
to
break you at all.
I was trying not to focus on it, and then I just, for some reason, I just was like, that's really fucking funny. I got to take a second. But
there was a coworker at the window factory that used to do that, put his beard in his mouth. and it just cracked me up. And so that's my homage to you. I believe your name was Travis. Wow. It's funny. I can't remember his actual name, but I remember on MySpace, his username was Master Buffalo Killer.
Damn.
Really cool dude. Been a long time. That's 2005.
Damn, bro.
12 years. Anyway, I totally derailed your story.
You're fine. You're fine. No worries. So last night I was like, fuck, I got to do something. I got to play something to zone out. I had just, like I told you, did I tell you that I was Batman? I became Batman. Did I tell you this story yet? I was Batman. Okay, well, I guess this story supersedes the other story and it'll lead into itself. So a couple, last Sunday, we went over to my buddy David Lee's house. He's got the awesome VR setup. And
oh, so you play Batman VR or Arkham VR?
I played Arkham VR, and it was pretty cool. It's not really what you're expecting. It's more of a puzzle-based game, and you're a detective Batman and not as much the fighting mechanic, which is what I was hoping for. But honestly, it was still a lot of fun. So it kind of had my brain on Arkham, and I was like, fuck it. I'm going back to the beginning. So last night I popped in Asylum, and I'm already 25% through of the game. because I'm just like, I know where this is. I know where this is. I know what I have to do this. I know that Riddler solution. I know this Riddler solution. Just moving on. Boom, 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 boom. Every time.
On 360?
Yes, on 360. Correct.
Okay. Because they re-released Asylum and City for PS4 and Xbox One.
Yeah, yeah, that was the remasters that they did recently. I do want to pick those up, but I like playing them on 360. There's kind of a kind of just, it's like going back, you know?
I see no reason to upgrade other than I don't have... When I played the Arkham series, I played it on the 360, because I was in this mode between the two systems of, I need other games to play in the system that I spent money on.
Yeah.
And this is a third party. I don't care as much. I'm just trying this out. And so I played it on the 360 first, so that's where I played City. And when I bought City, it came with a copy of Arkham Asylum. And so I got both, right?
Yeah.
And so when Origins came out, I played it. So then, naturally... When Arkham Knight came out, I got it on Xbox One, right?
Yeah. No, wait, you got it on PS4 with, like I did also, too.
Yes, because I didn't have an Xbox One.
I do remember now, that, yeah.
When I pre-ordered the Collector's Edition on the PS4, because that's what I had it on when they first announced it, and then I got an Xbox One in the meantime, but didn't want to lose my pre-order for the Collector's Edition, which I probably actually could have just
switched it,
swapped
yep.
it over. But I never did, and so I now have the PS4 version of Arkham Knight and the 360 versions of all the other ones. So my gut was, yes, I'll go get the remasters. I have them all in the one system. And then Origins wasn't in there because Rocksteady didn't make it.
Yep.
And I'm like,
never mind.
Nope. I'm not spending money on that. No, because I put Arkham Asylum in, or maybe it was Origins, a while ago on the 360, and it looks just as good on my TV. I'm not that worried about it.
Dude, as soon as I put it in last night, I was like, shit, I forgot how fucking great this game looks. You know, you start off with the Batmobile scene with him, with Joker and the Batmobile racing towards Arkham, and I was just like... 2009, bro, but it looks great. The last time I played this game was 2012, which was the last time I beat it. I don't know why I went back and played. I think maybe I was gearing up for Origins or something. I don't remember. Is that when Origins came out? Was 12 or 13, maybe? 13?
It was 12. I know 11 was City, and I know that actually for a fact because it was the fall of when we first moved into the house here.
Yeah.
And... I distinctly remember drawing some ire from the wife. I was all set. I was set for the Arkham City. I'm going to get Arkham City at the end of the month. Yes, it was because it was October, you know?
Yeah.
And I was bored. So I'm like, I'm going to go buy a game. I'm going to go buy Gears of War 3. So I went and bought Gears of War 3. And then I went and I think I beat the game in like a weekend or something like that by myself. And then I went and bought Arkham. But like for like, I would say 2011, 2012, I played my 360 probably more than I did in throughout the duration. I primarily gamed on the 360 during that time. It was the Mass Effects. It was the Arkhams. It was... I didn't play through the other Gears, but...
Judgment Day or whatever?
I still haven't played that at all. And I haven't played 4, although I kind of do, but I'm not as excited for it because 3 didn't do anything for me at all.
It was beautiful visually, but it was not the best story. They kind of went weak.
We'll see, and the thing is that I've never been encapsulated by the Gears story. What drew me into the first Gears was the co-op play, and how slow there are small little things that you did with the two of you playing the game that you helped each other through the game.
Yeah,
even the segment of one person driving, one person shooting. One of my favorite sections is when you have to have one person use the spotlight to get you across.
Yep.
And so that way you don't go out of the light, and the locusts don't come in.
Yeah, and tear you up.
And tear you up.
The Reavers.
And I, Reaver, yes. You know what I'm talking about. But I thought that was just the coolest thing. Because you, it forces you to work together in ways that isn't just shooting stuff and getting each other's back and going and picking each other up. And, oh, crap, I messed up. I ran into a room full of people.
Throw you a shotgun.
You know, I just thought that the first game playing that with Rob was really cool. The second game, it didn't capture that same feeling with me. And then three, I played it alone because Rob didn't get it yet. Me and Rob have talked about playing him, but then now with his new position and he works a lot and he's on second shift, I unfortunately don't get to see my buddy as much as I used to. I did pick up the Gears 1 remastered on the Xbox One. It looks fantastic. I got that in anticipation for 4 because 4 looks amazing as far as graphics wise.
Yeah.
Everything else on it, other than, like, I think they used a Metallica song for they used a Metallica song for one of the trailers, and then in the other trailer they used the new Disturbed cover of Sound of Silence.
Yeah.
Which is cool because, and if you close your eyes during some of the piano in that, it sounds like that cover that they used for the first original Gears.
Mad World.
Trailer. Mad World, yeah. There are some spots in that Disturbed cover that makes me think of Mad World.
So I want to say that, like, I forgot how awesome Arkham is. And it's super simplistic being in that you're just in the asylum and it's so small compared to City. One thing I noticed, though, now that I'm like a veteran of that style of gameplay because they've had so many games, like, you know, essentially 4 games, it's so much easier. I go into a room of like 20 dudes and it's like, oh, you got to stealth around this and don't get caught. Okay, not a big deal. Done. Didn't even, you know, set off one alarm. Did it in like 10 minutes. The first time I played Arkham, that took me like 2 hours to try to figure out. You go to like the record room or whatever. You're searching for, it's like Dr. Young's files or whatever. And then when you go to her room, you get the fingerprints and then follow the trail back. But when you're in the record room, there's tons of dudes with those like suicide collars on. They can explode and you have to take them all out without setting off anything. And the first, like, I'm serious, dude. The first time I played that on Arkham, I'm sure that took like a good 45 minutes of me like slow grinding, hopping from gargoyle to gargoyle to gargoyle to gargoyle, afraid to make the wrong move and set off anything. Yeah. So now I'm just like, drop down, boom, 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 kill. Okay, got that guy. Jump to the next one. Throw the fucking batarang. Make him drop to the ground. Drop down. Silent takedown this dude. Back up to the gargoyle. Go over to this other spot. Drop down. Inverted takedown. Okay, we're done there. Drop down to the floor. Corner takedown. Okay, good. Now there's only one dude left. He's fucking terrified and shitting in his drawers. Go to around the corner. Another takedown. Boom, done. Okay, handled. okay, well, that was fucking easy. Next. So I'm really enjoying playing that. I'm going to be diving in and probably I'll probably end up going through the entire Arkham series one by one right now. Kind of as a, you know, not really like a goal, but I would just really love to revisit those games and check them out. You know, the Joker in the Batman Arkham series is Mark Hamill, except for he didn't do Origins, right?
I'm sorry, that was, oh, crap, Troy Baker.
Thank you.
Troy Baker, he was the voice of Joel in The Last of Us. He was the voice of Booker in BioShock Infinite.
Yep.
He was the voice of
he does, like, Baird or something in Gears, right?
He might have done Baird. He does. I mean, he's everywhere. He's in Persona 4. As Kanji. He is Nathan Drake's brother, Sam.
Yep.
In Uncharted 4. But yeah, he does an amazing Joker. He's also now played Batman as well.
Oh, that's sweet.
He plays the video game version of Lego Batman.
Oh. Okay, that's awesome. You know, like I said, the Jokers in those games are awesome. And I don't know if you saw this or not, dude. Jared Leto has legit gone kind of fucking mad. So when they're doing PR press for Suicide Squad, okay, they're on the red carpet, and the interviewer's like, "Hey, Jared Leto, I heard you gave your castmates weird things as the Joker." And he's like, "Yeah, I gave them anal beads and used condoms. At least they were used, you know?" Like, and then, like, later you hear actors who are in the fucking movie, "Yeah, Leto gave me a fucking used condom, weirdo. That was messed up." Or, "So, well, at least so-and-so, they got anal beads. And don't know if those were used, you know?" Or whatever. And then now Jared Leto is doing press for... he's doing press for Blade Runner, which I should have fucking put that in the right order, but oh well, we'll just jump to there now. But
I can choose, man. We'll hop around. But I kind of set up another one, but we'll get to it.
Okay, so Leto is talking, and he's like, "Let's just set the record straight right now. All these rumors running rampant that I didn't give out no used condoms. People just hear what they want, and they just take it and run with it." And then, like, you watch the video, and no, he clearly says that he gave used condoms to his cast members, who also clarify and say that he did exactly that. So it's like, why are you being crazy? Like, you're everywhere now. You're filmed. As a celebrity, you don't go a place and say a thing without, you know, there being repercussions. And it's like, why are you trying to hide the trail? Is he trying to, like, pull his name away from the Joker, or maybe make it that he wasn't as crazy as everyone, you know, because he didn't necessarily do the most stand-up job as the Joker? I mean, it wasn't terrible, but there wasn't, as I've said, not really enough of him in the movie to necessarily say, "Oh, he was fantastic. Oh, he was horseshit," you know?
He just needs some time. He needs some time, and he needs focus. The movie needs to focus on his character for him to really, like, dial in and give this character a shot. I mean, you know, some people really hated it, and I'm like, you know, not the worst I've ever seen, but again, like you said, it just wasn't enough, and we were kind of led to believe that there's going to be more of him in the movie than there really was. So I'm all for let's get him on the screen again. Let's get another shot. Speaking of the DCEU, did you know that we're not supposed to say the DCEU? That's not actually a thing.
Man, oh, it's allegedly a joke, Brando. That's what they said. It's a big, massive joke.
Well, no, apparently it was some journalist had said it, and then everybody just started saying it because this journalist said it.
Dude, listen. I've said this. DC can do all these great things and set themselves apart from Marvel and be awesome. Every chance they get to do that, they fumble and make stupid fucking judgment calls. This is one of those calls. Trying to say, we don't have an extended universe and we're not going to try to interconnect. And they're saying Aquaman might not have anything to do with any of the other movies. And it's like, why would you... Kind of
set
almost, you're
yeah.
you've done all this work building the Justice League, and now you're going to essentially say they don't belong in the same area, or that they can't cross promote their shit that way. It's just they're messing it all up, man. They're messing it all up. DC fails again. That's a fucking common thread on this fucking podcast.
You know, one just hopes that that Marvel can put together a good sort of finale here with the Infinity War. I'll be honest with you in saying that while I have enjoyed the last several movies that Marvel's put out, like, I'm getting fatigue myself. As far as, like, I'm having trouble finding the want to care about more Marvel movies, and I'm just like, I still haven't seen Doctor Strange, and I've had access to it. It's on Netflix.
Yeah,
I just haven't. My desire to watch it is not extensive. My desire to go to the theater to watch Thor is not high. I'm not going to theater to watch Thor.
I bet I can change your mind.
I bet you can't.
Oh, yeah, I bet I can. You know why? Because here's something crazy. And this is actually should have been Foodies Watching Movies news, but we keep forgetting to bring it up. So there's this thing called Movie Pass. Do you know what that is?
Yeah. $10 a month and... You get to see as many movies as you want. in a month.
You get one movie a day, right?
One movie.
So
one movie a day.
30 movies a month, which to go to see a modern Arad movie right now is like almost $40. So to get three movie passes would only be $30 for me. Okay, that's not bad. So then here's the thing that's cool. Using MoviePass is like if you actually paid for a ticket. So yeah. If you have an AMC Stubs card, you can literally bankroll your rewards on the thing and go to 30 movies in a month and get points for 30 movies in a month. And then the very next month, turn around and have like unlimited free concessions, you know, because of all the shit you've been to. Because it counts as a regular price ticket, even though it's on the MoviePass.
I'm lucky if I can get someone to watch the kid long enough for us to go like once every couple of months.
Oh, no, I know. And this is probably not something that's necessarily like in your imminent future. But you look at some of the upcoming seasons of movies and what who knows what the landscape of movies in the next 10 years is even going to be like, man. It's all so changing. And I do feel that there is some superhero fatigue in the movie world. But it's not because anything's been bad. It's just like it's not as exciting when the fight is so one-sided, if that makes sense.
And no, for me, I feel like it's not even about that. I feel like that the because of the success of so many superhero movies, whether they're Marvel, DC, or independent, whatever, that the studios are now bankrolling on comic franchises or anything like that to spread them out throughout the year, and the entire industry is being held up by these movies. Because what you're going to have is that you're going to have your Oscar bait, these movies that are good, that don't necessarily, sometimes they do, sometimes they don't make a lot of money. Then you're going to run into your typical popcorn flicks, your action movies, your non-superhero action movies that can either be good to great to absolutely deplorable. And then you have your remakes, and then you have your endless sequels, and then you have your comedy, your things that are can, and then you have your kids' movies. And it's funny because kids' movies, you have Pixar movies that will almost always bankroll, and then you have everything else that is sort of random as far as like what catches on and what doesn't.
Yeah.
I got some movie news to talk about.
Bring it out.
On the last episode, we talked about the new Terminator franchise, or the return of, right?
Linda Hamilton coming back to beat that ass.
Guess who's directing the new Terminator movie?
Do tell.
Tim Miller.
Ooh, shit. Director of Deadpool. Fuck. Fuck.
Yeah. So, he is on board to direct the new Terminator movie, which will completely ignore, as we said before, the entire other three movies. This is a sequel to Terminator 2.
It's the last 12 years of Terminator movies have been wiped off the face of existence.
Basically, quote, previous movies were a bad dream.
Oh, I like that.
With the series going back to Cameron, him and Miller and other creative teams, they have come up with stories. They are storyboarding. They have a release date, Nate.
2020.
July 26th, 2019.
Is that when Skynet launched or something? Does that have anything to do with time?
In T2, it was August 29th, 1997.
97. Wow. Why did I think it was so much later?
In Genesis, it ended up being in 2016.
Of course. Period piece. It's happening now. Now is when the shit's going down. It's right now.
Right. There's like a fly or something buzzing around my face, and it won't go away. It keeps landing just short enough for me to try to swing at it, and then it moves, and I'm just sitting here like beating myself up.
I feel like it's like that episode of Breaking Bad, the fly episode.
Yes, almost, yes. I haven't screened the article, so I'm like reading it just really quick here. I have some quotes from Cameron that do not bash Wonder Woman. We're going to try and stay away from the negativity here and just focus on some hopeful positivity. Terminator 1 and 2 are two of my favorite movies of all time. Both directed by James Cameron. Both written, conceptualized by James Cameron. Despite what his opinions are on other things, he has done some things right. So I'm hoping that with his insight, it's going to be difficult to try and steer a franchise that is this old and this misstepped. But there's some hope.
I saw it. I saw the fly.
It's crawling all over my microphone right now, just taunting me like, if you smack me, you hit the microphone. What are you going to do, asshole?
Nothing. You'll do nothing. Nothing at all. Dude, I'm excited for the new Terminator, honestly. Like, again, back to the whole, like, James Cameron thing. Like, yeah, he's kind of fucking said some dumb shit. But we're in the world now where everybody says dumb shit, and you just have to go, well, that was fucking dumb. So,
All right. So, this is a quote from Cameron, okay? He said that this is a continuation of the story of Terminator 1 and 2, and we are pretending the other films were a bad dream or an alternate timeline, which is permissible in our multiverse.
Really?
Now, I've already sort of detailed this. I was hoping that was on air when I talked about that.
Yeah, it was really last time.
Really, yeah. Well, it was really like the other movies were. I found this video on YouTube where it details like all these like different
alternate timelines, right?
Well, it's like this could be a singular timeline here, just one and two, and then these next ones, and then it could actually splinter off down here and do three. And then Salvation, and then there's another one where it's like, well, then that could also, from three, then splinter on down here and do Genesis. It's all over the place, dude. However, what we have here is, let me find my spot here.
Sure, yeah, find it.
Get my finger, aka bookmark. This was really driven more by Tim than anybody, surprisingly, because I came in pretty agnostic about where we took it. The only thing that I insisted on was how we somehow revamp it and reinvent it for the 21st century. As for whether or not plans to bring in some new actors will join in a now much older Schwarzenegger and a Hamilton, Cameron indicates that this new movie will set the stage for a fresh wave of movies similar to what happened with Star Wars and its younger cast. Quote, A lot of this is handing off the baton to a new generation of characters. We're starting a search for an 18-something young woman to essentially be the new centerpiece of these stories. And then a number of these characters, other characters around her and the characters from the future, we still fold time in the story in intriguing ways, but we have Arnold's character and Linda's characters to anchor it somewhere across here, and I won't say where the baton gets passed, so to speak. Basically, Arnold's going to be 71 when this movie starts filming.
Jesus.
And he was quick to offer an explanation that just like in Terminator Genesis, the flesh over the metal endoskeleton ages. Miller, however, went a little more in depth when he hinted that it is a T-800 breaking down. I haven't talked to Arnold about this, so I could get in trouble. But because he's been in all the other movies, unlike Linda, I do think there needs to be a reason to be different. I like my sci-fi grounded. I like my characters grounded. And what Jim said about the exterior aging while the interior remains the same, well, not the interior as in the brain, but as emotionally and intellectually, he will have evolved. They're learning machines. But there's a way to make it different than what it was. Even in Genesis, he was slightly gussied up version of the old Terminator. I think we should embrace his age, and that's something that's going to make it interesting for fresh plans. So basically what we could have is an older machine that's still ticking, nearing the end of its, you know, basically needs like some oil, you know. Now, whether or not here's the thing. You have the T-800 from the first movie and the T-800 from the second movie. All the T-800 Arnolds are different. They're not the same character. It's just the same model 101. So when you have the T-800 from the first two, the one model is programmed to kill Sarah. The second model is programmed to protect John. And that's the one that becomes a father figure to him. And they end up having a big relationship. And then you go into three with the T-850, and it's Arnold that is programmed to be aware that there have been other models of Terminator that have come back in time. In fact, this model of Terminator killed John Connor in the present timeline. And they chose that model because they know that when he was a kid, he bonded with a Terminator. And so when he hesitates when he sees the Schwarzenegger model of Terminator. It's just, if they're going to do this when they speak of the T-800 character, it's like, which one are they talking about? Because they're all different.
That's interesting. They're, yeah.
And they've all evolved differently because you have the Terminator 2, which is what the model that everybody thinks of, the one that actually starts becoming human, the one that actually starts like learning and saying, catchphrases and things
hasta
like that.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Hasta la vista, no problemo, even doing like little things like, becoming a little bit more human. And then you have like Terminator 3 where they take it to the next level of that, where he says, talk to the hand, and all this other kind of things. And then he lies, actually, at one point. She goes, because there's a scene in 3 where she goes, if I tell you, will you let me go? And he goes, yes. And she tells him, and then he shuts the door. She goes, you said you let me go. I lied. And then you have the old Arnie from Genesis, which also learned and was another extension of that, but 10 years older, or like really old Arnie. But I kind of wanted to talk about it because the whole Tim Miller thing has me excited. He obviously knows how to make a good action film. I did read that they're trying, they're not going the route of Genesis and going big over the top computer graphics action scenes. Of course, they're going to use computer graphics. I mean, this is James Cameron. He's producing this thing. It's Tim Miller. They are very well versed in what they're doing, but they're going to ground it as far as like where they're going to design scenes that are going to pull the reins back a little bit. I think in their minds, they're thinking of, well, the other movies went here and here and here and here. What could we do to top this? And I think somebody in the room said, well, why should we try to top it? Why don't we, if we're treating this as a potential sequel to Terminator 2, let's pull the reins back and let's do some really cool action scenes, the scenes that are grounded in reality, that are still cool and kind of out of this world, but still kind of believable.
Yeah.
It has me really excited, with Miller involved, with Cameron's team involved, with Arnie involved, with Hamilton involved. I'm genuinely actually kind of excited for this movie, and I may actually go to the theater to see it, and I hope I'm not let down, which, by the way, I did not go see Blade Runner this weekend, but I'm kind of wishing I would have made plans to do so, Nate, because it is doing very well among critics and fans alike. Nate, this took me by complete surprise.
Certified fresh, my friend.
Certified fresh. It is 98%
shit
on Rotten Tomatoes. I had heard already that the damn movie was reviewing well, and that it was. It's not that I thought this movie was going to be bad, but I went into it. No, hold on, stop. Don't talk, Nate. Don't talk. I'm sorry, Nate, but I just... Okay. The trailer...
She started playing.
The trailer for this movie started playing automatically. You're now unmuted, Nate. Unfortunately, I went here. I'm like, I'm going to write. I'm just going to go see what IMDb has it at. and it's like trailer playing automatically, and I'm like, damage control, this is going to be super loud.
What is up with that? That's 2 weeks in a row. It's got us. Those damn automatic trailer plays.
Well, thankfully this week I was able to stop it, and I actually saw that it was actually muted.
Nice.
This movie is directed by Dennis, can't say his last name.
The Menace.
It's funny, I just used a GIF while we were doing the show. I used a GIF. My wife, Caitlin, said that she's in the living room minding her own business. She hears me hollering from the back room. It's podcast night. So then I posted with a GIF of Gilbert Gottfried, because I'm sure that's what she heard, is me doing that. And she goes, have you even started recording? And I sent her, I typed in yup in the end of the GIF search, and I found the little kid with his cross eye from Dennis the Menace, the movie from like the 90s. His yep. name's Gunther.
Like, yeah.
Yep.
And yeah. I sent that. I love that kid. He's so cute. Blade Runner on Metacritic has a Metascore of 85. This was directed by Dennis, can't say his last name. It was written by Hampton Francher. Screenplay by Michael Green. Screenplay by Two More Credits. I'm not clicking on it.
I've never heard of Two More Credits. I'm not clicking on it. What else has he done?
It stars Ryan Gosling, of course, Harrison Ford. I'm like Han Solo guy.
I was like,
Dave Bautista is also in it. Robin Wright is in this. I didn't know that.
Interesting.
She was on break from House of Cards to do this, probably.
Yeah.
And of course, Jared Leto, as you said before earlier, is in this.
I feel like I read something that he filmed his entire Blade Runner movie in like one room in like maybe 2 days.
I have good news though. The movie isn't out yet. I thought it was out. It comes out next week.
Oh, sweet. So we're just hyping some shit that isn't quite out yet, folks. Get on it.
Yeah.
So at the end of this week, actually, Thursday, at the end of this, like this Thursday's preview night.
Yeah. It comes out on October 6th. I actually thought it was out already because of all the reviews. They're already out, and I'm thinking, oh, well, all the reviews are coming out because it's coming out this weekend. No, it's like a week early.
So Blade Runner comes out the same day as Wolves with Dances, Podcastrophe 05.
Yeah.
Which, holy fucking train wreck, Batman.
we'll unpack that in just a second because we don't want to give away too much.
No.
The storyline for this movie is 30 years after the events of the first film, a new Blade Runner, LAPD Officer K, unearths a long-buried secret that has the potential to plunge what's left of a society into chaos. K's discovery leads him on a quest to find Rick Deckard, Harrison Ford's character from the first movie, a former LAPD Blade Runner who has been missing for 30 years. Now, I have seen the original movie. I rented it. It was the only movie I think I rented on the PlayStation Network way back when, like 10 years ago, 7 years ago, or it was like 08 maybe. Second Apartment. Me and Rob watched it.
It's an awesome movie, man, genuinely.
It is. It is. But it is one of those movies where if you're going into it, you better – I would advise people to know what they're getting into because I didn't know what I was getting into. I'm like, is this some sort of action movie? It is not.
No.
Blade Runner is not an action movie, but Blade Runner 2049, apparently, a lot of course, this is the era of doing sequels to movies that are really freaking old, just like Terminator, just like Star Wars. No offense to Star Wars. They did, you know, that's good. It's continuing. But then you also have, like, what was it? It was Indiana Jones back 10 years ago. It was Ghostbusters. I guess it's not really a sequel. It's a reboot.
Independence Day.
Independence Day, good, a great one right there.
20 years later, Jesus.
20 years later sequel, and then, oh, Dumb and Dumber 2.
T.O.
Yes.
And not Dancing with the Stars, T.O.
I actually kind of liked Dumb and Dumber 2.
I haven't seen it.
It's very difficult to live up to the original, let me just say that.
Yeah.
And let's just, I don't think they did better.
Okay.
It is a good addition to that movie.
Okay.
It's a fun revisit. I don't feel like at any point in time it fails to deliver.
Okay.
But it's so difficult when you have a movie that is like Dumb and Dumber and here you are doing it again 20 years later. And I feel like they did as good as they could possibly do.
Awesome.
Maybe in ways it could have been better. You can argue one or another. Like, some dude said, like, at work, he saw it before I did. And I said, how was it? He goes, it was dumb. I'm like, so it succeeded. I'm like, it's supposed to be stupid. And like the original movie is stupid as hell.
Yeah, exactly.
And he goes, yeah, I guess. I'm like, awesome. That's like the best thing anybody could ever say about that movie.
Winning.
Dumb and Dumber 2, dude. Like, the whole gag in the trailer about him coming to see him, and it was a joke. That's how the movie starts. And literally, the movie picks up as if like it was the next day 20 years later.
Damn.
And it's funny that way, really.
Well, now I want to fucking watch that. Maybe I'll do that this weekend at some point.
There's a couple of scenes where you're just like, yeah, that's stupid. Because of they're kind of utilizing like modern technology.
And making,
for things.
Yeah, their jokes on it.
Well, like, they did it for the trailer, I feel. And it's the scene where they get the old van back for just a little bit. And they ramp it up and they're going in slow motion. And I'm just like, that's not needed. There are some really good jokes in this. Like, Harry's parents are Asian. And he doesn't understand at all that he was ever adopted. Like when they tell him, he's so shocked or whatever.
What?
He's like,
really?
Why didn't you guys tell me? And they're like, we thought you knew.
Yeah. It's pretty obvious. Shit.
And then, like, the mom doesn't know any English.
Oh, Jesus.
And that's, like, the best part. But, yeah, dude, guys, Blade Runner, very, very surprised to hear that this is doing well. I'm very happy that it's doing well because now I'm actually psyched up now that everyone's saying this too. I don't want to get too far hyped for it because that has happened to me with a lot of movies. It's like, everyone, you have to go see The Hangover. Best comedy ever made. By the time I see it, I'm like, it's funny in parts, but I feel like that movie got way overhyped. And I've had a couple movies that were like that for me, where they're good movies, but everybody loved it, and it just got so overhyped to me that by the time I saw it, nothing that movie could ever showed me was going to satisfy me.
Yeah, expectations just overwhelmed.
Yes, and unfortunately, that can ruin a movie.
Absolutely,
and it ruins. Sometimes it ruins it for its duration. Of like, I've watched The Hangover once. I've never gone back to see it again. There's no desire, and there's no desire to see the sequels. I mean,
the second one's not bad, but the third one is the first one again, just reversed. It's stupid.
Reversed.
Like, it's someone else lost for a hole the whole time.
Oh.
Kinda, yeah. It's fucking
Which
weird.
One was lost this time?
I think it's, hold on. So the second one is the one when they're in Bangkok. And, okay, yeah. Dude cuts his finger off or whatever and goes to get ice and he falls asleep in the ice machine. Which, what the fuck? Doesn't make any sense. And because it's like the dude, fucking, I'm so bad with names on this movie because I've only seen them all once. The third one was in Vegas, and I feel like someone else goes missing, and there's like another fucking whole thing. I only saw it once, so I'm not gonna try to retell those.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I've got some other news here.
Bring it on.
I mentioned that it is doing extremely well. But The Dark Tower did not.
You're going to get it.
It. So what we have is Stephen King finally commented on The Dark Tower's failure. And he says, quote, "The major challenge was to do a film based on a series of books that's really long, about 3,000 pages. The other part of it was the decision to do a PG-13 feature adaptation of books that are extremely violent and with violent behavior in a fairly graphic way. That was something that had to overcome.
Although I've got to say, I thought that the screenwriter, Akiva Goldsman, did a terrific job in taking a central part of the book and turning into what I thought was a pretty good movie. The TV series they're developing now, we'll see what happens with that. It could be like a complete reboot. We'll just have to see. So here he is saying that, Dark Tower's big screen endeavors are probably done. And they're going to be looking at, instead of doing a TV series to be a complimentary to that movie in that movie franchise, like the original thought was to do a movie, like a season of a TV series, another movie, another season, and it, you know, kind of alternate, right?
Yeah.
Well, now it kind of sounds like they're going to do a complete reboot and just do a series. And what we could end up seeing is a complete reformatted direct adaptation similar to like other series like Walking Dead or Game of Thrones, which more long form, which would be amazing.
Yes, absolutely.
The Dark Tower series is really freaking good. When I heard as surprised as I was with Blade Runner being so good, I was actually surprised that Dark Tower was so bad. In fact, I've heard one of the worst parts of the movie is Matthew McConaughey.
No surprise.
That was surprising to me because he's a freaking good actor. And I'm like, wow, him in a villain role could be really good. And apparently it doesn't work. I haven't seen it, so I can't agree or disagree. Now, Nate, earlier I said something about the video game Uncharted.
Yeah.
So we know that this movie is going to get made. And we already know who is supposedly playing Nathan Drake.
Tom Holland, right?
Yes, but now we might have a Sully.
Ooh. Ooh, tell me who it is.
Now, this is speculation.
Ooh, my favorite kind of lation.
The rumor is that he's tied to a movie with Tom Holland. Right?
Okay.
In a large supporting role.
Okay.
And he hasn't signed on for any Marvel movie.
Wait.
We're looking at the potential for him to play Sully.
The guy that's playing J. Jonah Jameson or that played Gordon?
Bryan Cranston.
Oh, shit.
Bryan Cranston, not J.K. Simmons.
Yeah, I couldn't think of his name.
Okay. Playing Sully from the video game Uncharted. The older dude that hangs out with Nathan Drake.
I know who he is, yeah.
Yeah. Could be Bryan Cranston.
Dude, that's incredible casting.
And if that is true, sign me up today.
Okay. I pre-order my tickets yesterday.
Okay. I'll buy three of those damn movie passes just to go to this damn movie.
I'm telling you.
I think Tom Holland playing a young Drake is awesome because I don't want them to do a movie adaptation of the video game. I want them to do a movie adaptation of some other point in this series' life.
Exactly.
This is a series, literally, and you can see it both ways, either fortunate or unfortunate, that there are a shit ton of stories to tell.
Yeah.
And you can do a different adaptation of when they first met. You know, they did that in the video games. You can do a version of that. You can offshoot that. But they didn't do the first meeting until the third game. You know. In my opinion, you can have this movie, just like they did with the Assassin's Creed movie, exist within the universe at some point in there. Here's just another medium for them to tell it. Or, you know, you could just have it be completely separate, but start it from a different starting point where Drake is much younger and you can have this young 20-something kid be hopefully set to play this role for the next 15 years where he becomes this badass action star, which he already is with Spider-Man.
Yeah.
But this will give him a something to do when he's not playing Spider-Man and he gets to play a completely different character.
Absolutely. Nathan Drake has got some depth to him, too. Not to say that Parker doesn't.
The best thing is that Bryan Cranston's like an older guy. He's done some action stuff, sort of. Okay. But Sully isn't necessarily, he's an older guy in the game. And as the game goes on, well, guess what? He gets older, right?
Yep.
So he kind of does, he's along for the ride, but does a little bit less and less. It's his character that he's there for. It's his interaction with Drake. And it's the lure of the money. Sully's kind of like this wily gangster.
Yes.
This thief. Always kind of get drawn in for the next big money cash. I like that about him because he's a good guy. He really is. Sully really is a good guy. But then when he's that old thief, and he kind of keeps getting drawn back. I would like to see Bryan Cranston take on a character like Sully and bring a little bit extra dimension to him.
That would be amazing. As you said, sign me the fuck up. I love the Uncharted series. There's this movie I'm going to watch soon with Bryan Cranston called Wakefield. And he's this like CEO dude. And one day he gets up to go to work and he just goes, fuck it. I'm going to go hide down across the street and go missing and watch and see what my family does. But what happens is he goes from thinking it's a joke, haha, to months and months. And now years have gone by and he's watched his family essentially forget about him. It looks like it's a super deep movie, but it was up for some Sundance Film Festival like awards this past year. So I definitely want to check that out. But speaking of, you were talking about, we were talking about Blade Runner being surprisingly good. Let's talk about something that's not so shockingly bad with the Inhumans premiere that dropped last night. Now, I haven't watched it yet, and I do intend, folks, for your pleasure and love of comic book things, I will be reviewing the Inhumans show. I will watch episodes 1 and 2 as soon as I can and tell you guys what I think. But the reviews are in. Fans mostly are saying it sucks. Some people are saying there's room for it to grow. Other people are saying it's doomed from the start and it's the dumpster fire of 2017. Like I said, I'm going to have to just kind of watch for myself and let you guys know what it's like if you aren't watching it. And if you are watching it and you love it, tell us why. Email us at journeyintocomicspodcast@gmail.com. And if you hate it, tell us why. Or if you love it, tell us why. Or if you're somewhere in the middle, tell us why. I think it's interesting because apparently the villains of the show are Black Bolt and Medusa, which I would have assumed were the heroes of the show since they're the fucking leaders of the Inhumans. But apparently they're the royal family who's like betrayed everyone and done wrong and they flee to Earth so that Ivan Reon's character, Maximus the Mad, sends a team to like hunt Black Bolt and Medusa down. So I am looking forward to checking it out. It's not something that I'm super excited for. Brandon, I will say you do need to watch The Orville. You'll love it if you aren't already watching it. It's definitely great. Poor Boy did a special report on it, and it's not very long. It's a Patreon exclusive, folks, so if you want to check that out, go to Patreon and get in on it. But, dude, the show is a lot of fun. I'm 2 episodes in, and it's like, it's not Seth MacFarlane over-the-top humor. It's also not just heavy drama. It's a beautiful fine line that they play with that's not Family Guy-driven comedy or Ted 2-driven comedy. This is very thought-provoking. It's well done. I honestly believe that it's well done.
It's on my list. I've been wanting. That is something that I have wanted to try and get time to sit down and watch. Star Trek Discovery has come out.
Yeah, they're like 3 episodes, CBS. 2 episodes out.
It came out. The first episode aired on 24th, so this weekend will be episode 2, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the review for episode 1, and it was like a 7.5 or about, good. But I've also heard some negativity about it. But I want to give it a good shot and a good go. But I also might just wait and
binge.
I might just wait because,
with something like that, I have to get a special subscription just to CBS All Access just to watch this goddamn thing. And if I can get it done within like a few weeks, that means I only got to subscribe for a month.
Yeah.
Because I don't give a crap about anything else on CBS. I'm excited for it based upon it looks they put like a lot of time and effort and money into the look of the show. It's one of the most graphically like and Orville looks pretty good too, but Discovery I saw like a sneak peek thing while I was waiting for you to hop online tonight, and I was of course it's got chick from Walking Dead, Sasha,
Shaniqua Martin Green.
Martin Green, I always forget her name.
I called her Shaniqua Green once and forgot the Martin, and that's like very important. It was weird.
She's a good actress.
Yeah.
But and also Chris, Jason Isaacs. I almost said Chris Isaac. He's a musician.
Not Chris Isaac.
No, Jason Isaacs, of course, a very, very good actor. Always plays the villain. He's almost like the, like. Not quite Alan Rickman-esque, where he's always playing the villain, but Isaac's well known also for the Harry Potter series, Lucius Malfoy. He also played the main villain in The Patriot, which is one of my favorite Mel Gibson movies. But he plays the captain on Star Trek Discovery, and then Shaniqua plays her name is I can't remember the. I think she's like the first officer,
and so that makes
she's
sense.
Actually the main. She's like the main character, but she's the first officer, and I like that approach. I really do, because that means that the Isaacs is there and his character will be felt, but it won't be 100% like his story is like not the ultimate driving focus of it.
Yeah.
Which to me, if I was writing it, would mean that depending on where you go with it and how far you go with it, means that she eventually gets the ship and becomes captain. But her character would have to evolve into that. But I'm excited for it, even though I've heard some mixed. I still am excited. I'm going to wait till it's all said and done for the first season to hear kind of what the general consensus is for the season before I dive in. Like that's going to decide whether or not I like rush the gun and then like go, I'm like, okay, All Access bot now, let's watch, or if it's like I can wait a little while longer.
Yeah, well, hopefully it's a great series. It has the opportunity to be great. I know I don't want to spoil too much, but I did read a little thing online. They reintroduced a character in episode 2. Do you know about this?
No.
Tribbles are back.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen Tribbles in a while. I'm a big fan of Star Trek. I'm not a huge fan of, like, I'm not a diehard fan of all the series. I did not get into Enterprise. I've watched Voyager. And then I did never finish Deep Space Nine. It was just, I didn't get into their style of storytelling for Deep Space Nine. It's not that it's not bad. It's very jarring. And here's something that actually got brought up to me by a guy I want to bring on our podcast.
Sure.
He's a guy that I work with. Really cool guy. And he said, and I actually completely agree with him, if you watched Deep Space Nine, Voyager, Enterprise, original series, whatever. If you watch those, you would probably, like, especially if it was like Deep Space Nine, you'd probably really enjoy it. And you would, like, see all these great things about it. And you would, like, you would see all the greatness in it. And then after that, if you went and watched TNG, you would then realize that TNG is like, oh, dude, this is that, like that, but even better. But if you watch TNG first, then everything else has to live up to it.
Yeah. And that's a pretty awesome series. Dude, 30 years ago this weekend was the 30-year anniversary of Star Trek The Next Generation.
I know. I know. I have such a cool fondness for that series in my heart. It's one of those rare series, and that kind of comes back around when you're older for me. Where I saw it when I was a kid, watched a little bit of it, was like, oh, okay, it's something to watch. And then when you really dive into it as an adult and you dive into the characters, it's one of the, I feel like TNG is probably one of the better character pieces. Like, they have so many good character episodes in that series. And all the actors are really cool. I love it that after so long in the series, the actors become friends. So then, like, when their characters are serving on the ship and they're supposed to be teammates, shipmates, and then friends, you feel the bondness.
Yeah, they spend so much real time together that they have formed real meaningful relationships.
And it lends itself to the chemistry on screen.
Absolutely. Totally agree with that.
And it's funny because you have some characters who, like, are very rigid. Worf, super rigid. He's you know he's the Klingon. Picard, very rigid character. Very, very different from, like, from Kirk. Kirk is your Indiana Jones type, swinging, let's go swing fisticuffs and roll up the sleeves and get my arms dirty. Picard's just going to yell you to death, and you're going to be frightened that he will roll up his sleeves. Like, you'll just back down. But it's always, it is funny because Picard plays such this, like, respectful officer, and this kind of, like, older, wiser kind of guy. And you see him and him be so strict, and him, but he has such a careness for his crew. And there are times when that fondness and that softness comes out of him. And it's really cool because then you get to see Picard as a human and as a regular guy a little bit. And
that's loud, I'm guessing, on your end.
I can hear it. What is that?
That's sirens. I don't know where they're at, but.
Oh. I just thought that maybe that was the ghost of our existence at this point.
Ooh! Spooky ghost!
That's unfortunate that the ghost hunt never happened. I'm hoping that it does, but I haven't heard anything yet.
Damn.
I was supposed to do the ghost hunt earlier on in the beginning of the month. I was hoping to do some cool Patreon exclusive EVP session where we, like, actually put that up, but when I find out, Nate, you'll find out. So
sweet, man, I can't wait.
Yeah, dude, I do want to check out the Orville. Everything I heard about it said it was really surprisingly good, just like the Blade Runner thing. Surprisingly good. Last week's episode was called noticeably bad.
This week should be surprisingly good.
Surprisingly good. I think we should.
I love that. Surprisingly good. You know what was surprisingly good was this circumstance of which something epic happened to Journey into Comics Network. And we haven't talked about this yet, not even in person at all. Like, not even when we got on the call earlier, we've avoided speaking about this at all. So the other night, I was up and I was like, fuck, I want to watch something. Fuck it. I'll put in the original Iron Man and start watching the cinematic universe from the start. Go through the whole Marvel Cinematic Universe. I'm getting myself super amped up. 2018 is going to be huge with Infinity War and, you know, Black Panther. And you've got Captain Marvel's in there somewhere, I think, before. Yeah. But anyways, so I'm watching and it's like early in the movie and Tony is downstairs working on like his Iron Man hand or whatever. And Pepper comes down and is talking about a Jackson Pollock painting. And if you'll remember in Guardians, Peter said, and of course I should have remembered because I remembered after the fact that Chris Pratt said it was an improv line. But if you put a black light on in here, it'd look like a Jackson Pollock painting. And I don't know if you remember or not, Brando, but there's like one Easter egg in Guardians 1 that no one has found. Even to this day, no one has found it. There's everyone has guessed every guess you could possibly guess. No one knows what the fuck this random Easter egg James Gunn hid in Guardians is. So I'm like watching, and then I hear this awesome, funny line. I was like, Jackson Pollock painting. Guardians, said Jackson Pollock painting. Fuck it. He'll never even see that I tweeted him, but I'm going to tweet James Gunn and see if this is the one, man. Maybe this is the one. Maybe I found out this great Easter egg. So I tweeted at James Gunn, and I said, hey, so the Jackson Pollock painting line in Iron Man is the missing Easter egg for Guardians. Winner, winner, you know? And James Gunn actually responded, no. But that he responded at all is fucking awesome, dude. And it's really crazy because the way it worked was, like, I sent the tweet, and then I scrolled for a second on his Twitter and didn't see it because, like, his tweets were showing up. And then I was like, oh, shit, you have to hit tweets and replies. And I hit that, and the first thing I saw was JIC Network, no. And I was like, I didn't write no. I asked a whole question. What the fuck? And then I looked and I was like, holy shit, James Gunn just said something to us. That's incredible. So shout out to you, James Gunn.
That's the magic of like social media and Twitter. And that's people getting to interact with their fan base, with their, you know, with other people. I mean, we act like, we act like it's a big deal. And yes, it is. It really is that, you know, that he actually took the time out of his day to respond. But that's becoming so much more common nowadays. With people having their phones and people having access, like, you know, he, for all we know, he's in an airport somewhere just chilling out, finding something to do. Oh, okay, somebody tweeted me. No.
Takes all of 2 seconds.
And for him, that's all it was. It was just like, you know, we are but a blip, you are but a blip in his like little memory of that day as somebody asking that.
One day, he will be on Journey into Comics. I will make it
that
so.
That would be badass. I mean, hell yeah. I mean, and we'll put a gun to his head and make him tell us what that damn Easter egg is.
Yeah, what is the Easter egg? You have to tell us now. He's like, the Easter egg is somewhere in the movie. There's a literal Easter egg. It's just hiding in one scene. Can you find it?
Running, when like little Star Lord is running out of the hospital and running through the yard, there's an Easter egg hidden in, like in the grass.
Just one, just for like a tenth of a second. Did you miss it? Oh, too bad. Because that's like a James Gunn thing to do. Oh, you're looking for an Easter egg? No, I put a literal Easter egg. And if you open that Easter egg, you'd probably find a dollar in quarters and a fucking Starburst.
Or a rock.
Dude,
my dad put rocks in some of mine.
Oh, so you'd lift, pick it up, and you'd be like, oh, my God, this one's heavy. It's got tons of money. It's a rock.
Money or, it's a damn rock. And he didn't. And then he's like, oh, that rabbit got you again.
Like, that's funny. That's super hilarious, Brando.
But then he would also hide, like, I remember do you remember, like, the Ninja Turtle toys from, like, the movie era?
Yeah, they had the shells that you could put shit in.
Well, okay, no, not that one then.
The one where were they the ones that you could pop the arm off? Like they were like super realistic.
Their arms and their legs and their head were all like really rubbery.
Yeah.
But then like they were the toys were like, they look like their versions from like the movie. I had like Donatello and he hid that entire toy like in like our bushes.
Damn.
So he like not only did he hide it, he made me dig for it.
Shit,
I know.
Rude.
I'm like, well, I got a turtle toy. And then I just can't wait to do that kind of stuff with my kid. We had a really good day with him today, despite how bad yesterday was.
Well, that's good, man.
He.
They say that it's terrible twos, but I honestly believe that it's like the treacherous threes. Like when they hit three, they become threenagers and it's Mr. Independent. I'm going to do it all myself and fuck you and what you think. And I'm going to figure it out for myself. Cause I'm this little person that's trying to make their own way already, you know? And it's like that,
stop trying to pour yourself a bowl of Cocoa Pebbles.
Not yet. You're going to make a fucking mess.
Mm-hmm. Oh, dude. I had to go to work today for a little bit and left work. And it was a spur of the moment thing yesterday where I said, you know what? I want to like smoke some pulled pork again. I haven't done it since you guys came down.
Yeah.
I think in May. And I'm like, man, you know what? Last year, I think I did it like 4 times. I'm like, I'm hankering, man. I want to make my own. And then while I was at the store, I was like, I'm going to make me something for lunch, too. And in the clearance section at Walmart, they've got like a bunch of grill stuff. So I found like this burger patty
press
maker. And I'm like, I am totally making bacon 50-50 burgers like I've made a couple times. Because I can make that while I'm making the pork so we can have dinner. And then by the time we're done podcasting, I might be hungry enough to have an actual like barbecue sandwich.
And hell yeah. And it'll be great tomorrow.
Well, dude, no, that barbecue, I got 9 pounds just for the two of us.
Holy shit. That'll be good for a month.
It'll be good for a while, dude. We're going to be sick of this shit.
I bet,
by the time we're done. But, I'm looking forward, dude. I've gotten really into grilling, and it was funny because I they had all these like grilling accessories, and I'm just like, oh this, and I'm like, why do I gotta be a video game collector? Where all I want to buy is video games, but I want to get into grilling shit.
Be a grill master too, damn it!
Oh man,
dude,
and,
we're gonna wait
for Thanksgiving.
Dude, Thanksgiving, bro. I'm looking at the First Supper.
Yeah,
I can't wait for the First Supper. We're going to have to not talk too much about that, but teasers, the First Supper's coming soon.
Dude, Thanksgiving, last year I smoked a turkey breast.
Goddamn.
On the grill, and it was literally the best turkey I've ever had.
Sounds fucking amazing, Brando.
Like, literally, and this is just, hold on. There is no greater feeling. I'm already genuinely aware of how dirty this sounds. than to have your wife or significant other place what you have made in their mouth and make an orgasmic sound.
Goddamn right. There's no greater feeling.
And then to know that they like it that much. And then they look at you like you're a god.
Yes, the grilling god.
Like, I just put it on there, and I just I just put some more stuff on there and make sure it stayed hot for a while.
Oh my god, grilling Stallone has showed up,
and it was just so easy, and it's like the only thing that sucked about it is that it got colder as the night went on, so it's like, yeah, man, it got a little chilly out. It wasn't too bad. It wasn't snowing, and not like in December on Christmas Day when I smoked a ham.
Damn, that sounds delicious. Smoked ham.
It was, dude. We kind of did our own the recipe that we make for like the oven, where we have like this pineapple juice stuff and the pineapples and. It, you know, I mean, that turned out really good too. I think the turkey was a little bit better.
All right,
but I'm gonna experiment with the ham this year. I want to try and nail it. And I feel like I nailed the turkey on the first time. I got the barbecue. The barbecue is in there still resting for the entirety of this podcast. Normally, I only let it rest for a half hour. It has been resting for
an hour and 33 minutes.
An hour and 37 minutes.
Shit, I was close.
And so once we get off here, I'm going to go and I'm going to shred this son of a bitch.
Oh, that's excellent. Well, we can get ready to lead to break, Brando. I don't mind that. I guess yeah. I can knock out the network plugs.
Go for it, man.
All right, folks. Well, as always, if you're listening to Journey into Comics, you know where to check us out on all the different social media sites, whether it be Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube. Just search Journey into Comics or Journey into Comics Network or JIC Network, just depending on where you're at. Also, make sure to give some money to our Patreon. We really would appreciate it. It will help us to continue our dreams of being ultimate podcasters, because that's what we're about in this life. And as always, if you are a first-time listener to the Journey into Comics podcast, maybe you're listening on Podbean or Stitcher Radio or Google Play Music or iTunes, subscribe, keep listening, check us out, check out all the shows on the network, whether it be this one, Journey into Comics, Game Addicts podcast, Journey into Wrestling, Foodies Watching Movies, The Voice of Survival podcast, The Poor Rapport, Podcastrophe, or Butt Stuff. You can get all those shows right here, folks, and we love when you check us out. Give us 5-star rating on iTunes. That's all I have today, Brando. This has been Journey into Comics, episode 159. It was surprisingly good.
Surprisingly so.
Hell yeah, bro. Well, folks, we will catch you guys next week on Journey into Comics 160. This was Journey into Comics 159, surprisingly good. I've been Nate.
I've been Brando.
Keep filling your brains with shit. Later.